All right. Who's excited to be in the house this morning? I know you just saw me. It wasn't planned to go that way, but sometimes we just got to take a moment and follow what Jesus is doing. Every time I look through the Acts in the Bible, all the disciples really did was said, Holy Spirit, where are we going? And they went. And when they went, the church blew up. So when the Holy Spirit says go, we go. As a church, we don't let fear get in the way, and even on the wall, one of our values is we follow the Holy Spirit because we believe that's the most important thing. A lot of people have edged out the Holy Spirit, and we're not that church because we need him. He transforms us. My name is Sean Jensen. I have the privilege of serving as the lead pastor here. If this is your first time, welcome. We are glad that you're here. Hopefully you feel welcome, and we do create a place where you can come and hear about Christ. If you're a believer, not a believer, it doesn't matter. We preach Jesus here, and we're glad that you decided to come here. And some people said, Sean, are you saying that if you have an atheist in the church, you're cool with it? Absolutely. This is where we would want them to be, to feel comfortable, to find out more about Jesus. They may not believe yet, but we can keep praying for them and share about Jesus and see what God does. So we're always a place that opens our doors for people. So no matter what you've been through, what you've gone through, thanks for coming out. It is our privilege that you are here. I really feel like God was leading me a few months ago to start the series called The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' greatest sermon ever preached was right when he started his ministry. It's found in Matthew 5, and he talks about these different topics and different subjects. And I just told Liz and the team, I was like, I really want to zone in on what Jesus taught because he's the greatest preacher to ever live, which means it's probably the greatest sermon to ever be preached. And I think it's very important to a church that wants to look like Jesus. Am I right? Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So we are going to go through that. And actually, this is going to take us all the way through December. So this is kind of new for us. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a month learning about the Sermon on the Mount. Then we're going to take a break and do another series. And then the next month, we'll come back and do part two. And then we'll take another series. And then the third time to part three. And then we'll finish up in December. And it's going to be exciting. Who's excited to learn about the Sermon on the Mount? I'm excited about it. It's already ruining my life in a good way. It's already ruining my life in a good way. So let's go ahead. We're going to be in Matthew 5, verse 5 through 12. We're going to read through that real fast, and then we're going to preach on what is going on in those things. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and tune in there, and we're going to be in that for a long time. And feel free. Like I said, we're going through verse by verse. So next week, you can already know what we're talking about by reading ahead. I don't care. Read ahead. Go for it. Get ready for it. Matthew 5, starting in verse 1, it says, Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. I love that he teaches while sitting down. I can't do that. I have ADD. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Here's the Beatitudes. It says this, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Everyone say rejoice. And be glad, because great is your reward of heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets. And when Jesus says prophets, he talks about the people from the Old Testament and the New Testament that came to talk about the coming of Jesus. Even the prophets that declared the words of the Lord were persecuted harshly. And he said, you're in good company if you've been persecuted for the gospel, because you are now in the footsteps of prophets who are now cheering you on from heaven, saying, keep going, church. Keep doing it. Keep sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, in the same way, they're persecuted the prophets who were before you. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would help me to be precise. Holy Spirit, I pray that you gave me a word to encourage our church. I'm excited to start the season of the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus, you are the greatest preacher to ever live. And if we could just pour ourselves into your teaching, Lord, I know it will change us for the good. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If this is your first time, I do like to tell people I get really excited and passionate, and so does our church, if you haven't already found out, because we feel like church should be alive because God's alive. And so if people say amen and holler back like they just did, don't look at them funny. They're having a good time. You should join in. It's a great time. We want to make this a great place where people can say it. And someone said, Sean, why do people stand up sometimes when you preach? And we just say this. It says where two or three are gathered together in agreement, there I am in the midst. or when you two or three gather together, he says, it will be done. And so a lot of times when people stand up or clap, what they're saying is, I agree with the word you just preached. They're agreeing with me. They're not saying, go, Sean, you're the coolest. They're saying, I agree with that word. It's rested in my heart, and I'm taking that with me home. So that's kind of why we do that. So I don't know. I have been married now to my wife for 6 years, and as we go on, our beautiful family is here. Ma and Daddy are here from North Carolina, and Bryson's back in the kids. So I wanted to honor them. If you hear some people with a twang out there, that's probably my in-laws because they're from North Carolina. It took me a couple years to get to the point where I can actually understand what he's saying on the phone, but now we're good. We're good to go. But I'm so glad you guys are here. Thanks for coming. Appreciate your prayers. Thank you for letting me marry your daughter and taking her back to Illinois. You guys are the real heroes. So they're here, and I don't know about you, but no matter where you are, marriage is difficult. I didn't get very many amens on that. You just fall in love. Sean, have you seen Disney? No. Have you seen Parenthood? That's more of my style. Anyway, so it takes work and it's hard, but I'm realizing there's things that my wife does that I'm trying to pick up on, and you might be doing this too. It's going to be my entire life. I get that, but I want to get better by the end of my life. I don't want to keep doing the same things. I know I will be, but I don't want to be. So I'm working on those things, and I realized there's some things that she does, and one of my favorite things that she does sometimes is how she hints towards something that she wants you to do, but it's like kind of like around the corner. For instance, like, if we have a lemon drink in the refrigerator, which are the bomb, they're at Walmart, you should get some. They're lemon drink, and so there's some in there, so she'll say something like this. Are there any lemons left in the refrigerator? And I'll be like, yep, and go on with my time. See, some of you guys are already laughing at me because I haven't learned my lesson. She's like, no, Sean, what she's saying is, can you please get me a lemon now, right? And for all you guys who are looking at me like I'm dumb, you're like, no, it's because you haven't found this out yet. Yeah, there's one in there. She's saying, can you get me one? One of my other favorites is how she talks through my kids, right? Like how she corrects me through my kids. Have you ever had that? And no one's talking about, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, is Daddy a little crabby pants today? Have you noticed that? And I probably am the crabby pants. I'm probably in the wrong, right? And so she knows that if she uses my girls, I'll have to laugh more about it because if she tells me, I'm like, I'm taking it. But she goes, oh, is Sean such a little punk today? Oh, did you have a dirty diaper, Daddy? I have a dirty diaper, a.k.a. change my diaper. I'm not doing it. It smells bad. Yeah. One thing that she said once that I never even knew was possible was she would say these words. She would say, Sean, it's not really what you said. It's not how you said it. I knew you were going to go there. You don't know me. Women trying to control all the time. You see that? Yes. I planned that, the hesitation. Anyways, no, but that is. Usually it's how you say it. That's for a marriage seminary later in life. She said this once. It's not what you said. It's what you didn't say. Have you heard this one, guys? What kind of witchcraft is this? Anyways. You're like, it's not what you said, it's what you didn't say. She's not upset because of the things I said. Now she's upset because I didn't say something. Oh, gosh, it's going to be a whole life. You need to help me. Like, Ma, help me. I don't know what's... But I'm realizing that what shocked her the most wasn't what something I said. It's what I didn't say. I think when Jesus spoke these words at the end of the Beatitudes, when he said, blessed are you, blessed are you, 8 times, I think at the end of it, they were like, is that all? Wait, they weren't shocked by what he said. I think they were more shocked by what he didn't say. Because he says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are merciful. Blessed are those who are hunger and thirsting. Blessed are the peacemakers and the pure in spirit. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And he stops. But he doesn't say, blessed are those whose bank accounts are full and to the brim. Blessed are those who have a nice house with a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, jacuzzi, blah, 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 blah. Blessed are those who this. It's the shocking factor that Jesus would come into their situation, and it wasn't what he said that disturbed them. It's what he didn't say. And I think so many times, now this message is not about how we don't get blessed, and it's not bad to have those things. I have a 3-bedroom house. I love what God's blessed us with. I'm not saying that we don't enjoy the things we have. Please don't hear me wrong. What I'm saying is that we wouldn't live this entire life thinking material things that don't go on with us when we die are actually our blessings, because they're not. And that's shallow. And Jesus said, for your entire life, you've thought this was a blessing, but I want to bring you, and they call the Sermon on the Mount the grand reversal. Jesus came to do the grand reversal. Everything you thought you knew about everything, he came in and went, whoop, and you said, I don't like that. It's not what he said, it's what he didn't say. It wasn't about the car. It wasn't about how successful you are. It wasn't about the trophies you have. It was about persecution and poor in spirit and mourning. Jesus, who is this guy? His first sermon, the first thing he shares is stuff like this, because he wants people to know what blessing truly is. Because if we were true with ourselves today, could we maybe look at America today and say, are we truly as blessed as those in other countries when it comes to Jesus' Beatitudes? Are we actually poor, impoverished? See, he wanted us to realize what blessing truly is. And I believe as a church, we're going to figure these things out. And as we talk, Mom, I believe they're going to set you free, because some of you are so blessed in here. And after we preach this, you're going to realize that you actually are blessed. But your mindset was thinking blessing was the white picket fence and blessing was those other people that come to church. You see their life, they must be doing something right. They got the cool stuff. And we say it all the time, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. If you're blessed because of a car, then what does that mean about the people being persecuted for their faith over a country that doesn't have any cars? Are they not blessed? So we got to realize what blessing really is. And I feel like as a church, when we get to that point in our heart, we will be so effective for the kingdom of God. So effective. So he opens this up and he says the grand reversal. The word blessed means happy, but it also means inner peace and joy that comes from right standing with God. So he's saying, blessed is this, knowing that you are now in right standing with God, that even though you've messed up your entire life, Jesus has made you brand new, and you now can stand before God knowing he sees not your sin, but his son, Jesus Christ. This is blessed life. And so he comes in, he starts out with a bang. I can only imagine. He comes out and says this, blessed are the poor in spirit. So what I'm going to do is go through these things. Take notes. I'm telling you, take notes. The name of this message is called hashtag blessed. Hashtag blessed. And you can even go through these things as we finish through this week and begin to notice things in your own life that you can work on. But it says this, starting in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to go through these as fast as I can, but still to where you understand. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, first and foremost, blessed are the poor. That's shocking. That's completely grand reversal. He says, you see those beggars? You see those people who are hurting? You see those people who don't look like anything? Blessed are those who are poor. But listen, in spirit. The word poor means a beggar, down to nothing, have nothing to give. And he says, blessed are the poor. Now listen, he's not talking about money here. He says, poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Helen Keller, like I said last week, said when she was, or not Helen Keller, Mother Teresa said, sorry, I was preaching your sermon for a second there, Miss Kathy Allen. She said this, Mother Teresa said that spiritually where she was serving, the people were in a better place than what America was. That we were actually the impoverished people when it came to the spiritual realm. And so what that meant was Jesus was saying, blessed are those who realize this, you are nothing without Christ. He's saying, you want to be a blessed life? Don't live your life thinking you're all that in a bag of chips, because you're not. Because without Jesus intervening, you would be down the road somewhere in an alley begging for your life back. But when you realize that you're poor in spirit, then you know that Jesus will come in and do something great. This is, I love this, and what Martin Luther said this, and I think this is a really good quote. I don't know where I wrote it, because I wrote it everywhere. I got stuff everywhere. God created out of nothing. Therefore, until a man is nothing, God can make nothing out of him. I'm going to say that one more time because that's real good. That's real good. God created out of nothing. Therefore, until a man is nothing, God can make nothing out of him. John 15 says, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. You see, we can get this mindset that we forget that we are seriously nothing without Christ. And Jesus says, blessed are those who realize their need for God. Blessed are those who sit at the Lord's table and know they can't take care of the bill. Blessed are those who know that they have nothing to give, that they come spiritually bankrupt, and if it wasn't for Christ, they would have nothing. Blessed are those people. The ones who look more at their spiritual case and that God, if he didn't intervene, would come in. And it says this in Luke 4, Jesus spoke these words, and they didn't like it. Because Isaiah uttered these words and Jesus said it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Let's leave it right there. Good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when people come and tell you, hey, I got good news for you, and they tell you about your sin and your shame and your condemnation and your guilt, and they don't tell you the other part of it, run away, that's just bad news. The good news is, in spite of the bad news, that we are sinners, we've all fallen short, that we do not deserve God's grace, there was this man named Jesus who came into the picture and said, I will die the death you should have died, but I'm going to die it for you so you can now be free in my name, in Jesus Christ, and you can live in freedom as a child of God now. That's the good news. And he said he came to give the good news to who? The poor. The poor. You see, actually being poor in spirit is the first step it takes to receive everything God has for you. When you realize that I am nothing in Christ. Bill, can you run up here real fast? I know I might embarrass you. Bill Tolbert, right there. I see you. Run up here real fast. Give it up for Bill. I was talking to Bill this morning, and I was preparing this message this week, and here's a step right over here. I mean, I know you're a tall guy. I can't get up because my skinnies, but I was talking with Bill, and they haven't been through the exact, him and his wife right there, Liz. Hi, Liz. How are you? She's been battling cancer for how many years now?
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, she is. 3 years.
3 years. And we are believed that she is healed and she's gone through the surgeries, and we're blessing and praising God for surgeries. And when I was out there, I was talking to them, I was like, you don't know how much you've impacted people, not after the fact of this, but during the fact of it, by how you've been in church and how you've been encouraging and how you've been taking her places. And his words were this. He said, well, what'd I say? I said, how did you do it? What'd you say?
Well, I said a lot out there. The only way I can do it is with Jesus.
Blessed are the poor in spirit that realize he couldn't have done it without Jesus. And when he said those words, I looked at him and said, you don't even know how blessed you are. Because Jesus told me, blessed are those who can kneel and say, Sean, it wasn't my strength at all. I couldn't do any of this. I'm poor in spirit. But apart from Jesus, I can't do anything. He's helped me through it. And right now, they're still in this place. They're lifting their hands during worship. And even though they've been through some of the hardest things that we've ever witnessed in our life, he's still here. He's still standing. God has lifted him up. Why? Because blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Thanks, Bill. Thank you. Don't compare yourself to other Christians. Compare yourself to Christ. Don't compare yourself to other Christians and where they are. Compare yourself to Christ, because that's ultimately who we all are called to be. It goes on to say, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I know there's a lot to go through. I'm going to keep pushing through. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. But now he's saying, blessed are those who wail and mourn and cry out. What is he saying here, Sean? He's not just saying about hardships you're going through. He says, blessed are those who realize their hang-ups. Blessed are those who realize that, you know, when they do maybe raise their voice at their kids, which is the worst thing ever, that after the fact they're on their knees saying, God, I missed the mark. Not in shame and guilt, but realizing that we still are flawed with sin and it tries catching up. But when we drop back down, it says, blessed are those who mourn over those things. I love what Paul said to the church. Paul wrote a letter, a very strong letter to the church of Corinth. A strong coaching letter, an encouraging letter that was not very encouraging. It was calling them out. And listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians. He says, I am not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you. Whoops. I am not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though, listen, I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. So he said, when I was sending it, it was tough because I love you. And I don't know where you're going to go from this, but you needed correction. And he said, I know it was severe. Verse 9, now I am glad I sent it. Not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent, which means turn your mind. Repent literally means to turn. Wherever you're going, turn around. Don't make it so crazy or whatever. Just change your mind. I was living this life. God got a hold of me, and I turned from that lifestyle. And he said this, not that it was painful, but that the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you are not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Paul's saying this, he's saying, blessed are those who took that letter and realized their sin and said, you know what? There's some people in my life who actually think the best of me. And when they spoke these words like Paul spoke, it's because they see my potential like Christ does, and they want me to be the best husband I can be, the best high school student I can be, the best father I can be. They want me to experience the full life that Jesus promised in John 10:10. But a lot of times what we do is we take it for a wrong aspect, and Paul came in and said, I was hard to write that, but now I'm not regretting it. Because I wrote that, you realize your need for Jesus in the areas that you were struggling in, and you turn from them. And now look at you. The church is growing. People are getting saved. People are getting baptized. Marriages are being restored. So we have to realize that there's times in our life that we don't like what we do. And we do fall. But it says in James 4, it says to turn your joy to gloom. Turn your laughter to wailing. Why? Because in due time, God will lift you up. There's times where we just got to get real with God and say, you know what? I am not happy with my sin. Like, sin's a big deal. Sean, will you talk about sin week in and week out? Yeah, I will, because sin's a big deal, because it was such a big deal that there was a man named Jesus who died for it. So I'll talk about it, but I'll talk about it in this avenue. If you have it in your life, there's a God who wants to take it out of your life. He's someone who wants to help you with it, encourage you with it. It may be a whole life process, but he's there for the long haul. And he says, blessed are those who realize their need for God. Blessed are those who mourn when they make mistakes. Why? Because you can give your sins to Christ, and he can lift you up. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? For they will be comforted. And no matter what you're going through right now, maybe it's not even sin, you're just going through a hard time, mourn. Why? Because they will be comforted. It says that God is close to the brokenhearted. And then he continues on into this whole aspect. Then he goes on to say, blessed are the meek. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You see, guys, meekness is not weakness. When a lot of guys hear meek, they're like, ugh. Bryson, my nephew, he came in with my in-laws. He came in, and we took him out fishing last night with some guys. And on the way back, he just started talking about stuff, which was pretty cool. He's like, you know what, Uncle Sean? Because he's got that drawl, too. Uncle Sean. I was like, what's up? If he doesn't call me Uncle Josh, he calls me Uncle Sean. And I said, what's up? He's like, well, I don't know if you guys know this yet, but you might find out now. He said, there's a kid in my class who picks on me, he bullies me, he punches me. And like at that time, I was like, oh, if someone touches my girls in a few years, step back, right? I will go to prison. I don't care, right? Yeah, or yeah, oh, never. Yeah, right. You've done it. Anyways, no one saw you. And he said, he picks on me, and he punched me, and he put me down. And I was like, yeah, buddy, so what'd you do? He said, well, I cocked back. I punched him straight in the face. At first, I wanted to be like, get it. Like, don't let anyone. And there's time for that, maybe. You know, there's a time after you do things. But I was like, hey, listen, talk to Grandpa about it. Talk to your teacher about it. I have, Sean. I've done it, Uncle Sean, you know. And he's encouraged. But I looked at him. I said, I remember this message. I was like, sometimes it's so easy because you think that the meek and gentle route is the weak route. But meekness isn't weakness. Jesus had a lot of opportunities to punch the Pharisees in the face. Jesus had a lot of opportunities to jump off the cross and say, no, you get on the cross. Jesus had a lot of opportunities to not actually take you in, but he did. Why? Because his meekness and his gentleness. Wasn't it Jesus who saw the woman caught in adultery, and he stood in front of her and said, you're going to have to stone me before you stone her. But we have a lot of people who have rocks in their hands looking for someone else that they can stone. Why? Because you're hiding your own sin. He says, you all have done this. You've all been here. Yeah, hers was adultery, but yours is gossip. Yeah, hers is adultery, but you talk bad about that lady that goes to church because she's a little different than you and a little bit crazier. Maybe you need to get a little bit crazier, because sometimes freedom comes when you dance a little bit. We start to compare so much, and he says, stop. Gentleness, meekness. Look for those who need prayer. Look for those who need a helping hand. Meekness is not weakness. And the only way we can get gentle is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit, guys. Love is patient. Love is kind. It goes on to say in Galatians 5 that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit, gentleness. So then why do we think that we can be so mean? I do this. I am not a gentle person. Let me just throw that out there right now. Why did some people just laugh when I said that? Some of my team members, you are fired. That's not gentleness. I'm sorry. That's not it. I can't see. That's why I'm not gentle. You're not fired. I love you. I would stand in front of you. Anyways, it's so easy to be the tough guy, but when you realize who you are in Christ, you can be meek. He says, blessed are those who what? Who protect people. Blessed are those who protect your wives when you want to throw them under the bus. Blessed are those who protect your kids when you want to aggravate them and maybe push them a little further. Blessed are those who are gentle in spirit. Blessed are those who don't just come back and lash out on Facebook every time someone posts something on something. Oh, yeah, we went there. Oh, gosh. Ouch, I don't like this place because you step on my toes. Well, if the shoe fits, just change it. We want to be a church that influences our community, not plagues our community. So if we want to influence it, sometimes we just got to realize to take the high road and don't comment back. Or just get rid of Facebook if you can't. Isn't it something that says sever your arm if it causes you to sin? Sever your Ethernet cable. Sever your Wi-Fi. Can you do that? I don't know. Just sever it. Get rid of it. Because sometimes God wants you to know that I'm rather you be gentle than thinking that you have to win an argument. Because if you won the argument, that's great, but you didn't win the person. I'm more focused on the person than the argument. Church, let's be gentle with those in our community. Let's be gentle with those who aren't in this church yet. Let's be gentle even though their beliefs are different than us. Let us be gentle like Jesus was. I'm sure some of the people he helped were not in the position that they should have been helped, and they didn't believe the same things as Jesus, but it didn't stop him from serving them and being gentle for them. And last time I checked, he went to the cross while we were running away. So when people are running away, they don't believe the same things you do. Before you get on your high horse and act like you have it all together, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are meek. I know, guys, it's so easy to hear people talk about your God and you want to defend it. I get it. But can I tell you something? You do not need to defend God. If he wants to bring fire from heaven, he can do it. Just be Jesus to people and let God be God. He can do it. He can defend you. He can take care of you. Blessed are those who are gentle. You want to see these seats fill up? Start being gentle with the people you keep talking bad about. You want to see these seats fill up? Be gentle to your neighbors, even though they may not mow your yard as much as you do. You want to be gentle? I'm going somewhere right now. You want to be gentle? Remember that last time you ran a stop sign that you wouldn't, you know, get mad at the other person who ran the stop sign. You want to be gentle with people. I'm telling you, that will fill these seats in a heartbeat. Why? Because they realize we're not a church that's here to point our fingers out and say, bleh. It sounds pretty disgusting, but that's kind of what our actions look like sometimes. Bleh. Bleh. And we come in like forgetting about ours. He says, be gentle. Be meek. The church grew because Jesus spent time with those who are hurting and broken. The first people he brought into this thing were crazy fishermen and tax collectors who stole money. He was gentle with them, and he taught them. And there's times as a pastor I got to remember with people in the church to be gentle with them, to be meek. Why? Because you can get a lot further in gentleness than you can with brashness. Actually, not a lot further. You will go further. Brashness won't do anything for you. He says, be meek. Be meek. Be gentle. Then he goes on to say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. I'm doing good. I'm going to get through this. Woo! Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Could you tell that was like a faith comment? Like, we're going to get through this. Woo! Like, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Then he goes on to say, now blessed are those who hunger and they thirst for righteousness. Now, this is not saying that you are going to get yourself saved. This is not saying that if you are hungry enough and thirsty enough, then Jesus will look at you and say, I think I can give him some grace. No, that's not what they're saying. What this word righteousness means is like justice. It means right living. It means that we desire to do and look like Christ. It means that when we say go and look like Jesus, we have a desire that our life would line up with the way Jesus is lined up in the scripture. It's constantly looking at our life and saying, you know what, I missed the mark there, but tomorrow I get another chance. You know what, I may have raised my voice there, but tomorrow I get another chance. It's constantly hungry and thirsty for being better people that God's called us to be. Not because of shame and condemnation, but because his grace gave us another chance. And so we hunger and thirst to be a church and a people who live out the scriptures and live out what Jesus asks us to live. Why? Because it doesn't just bring blessing into our life, it brings blessing into others' lives. And if we're not careful, we'll forget that this whole life is really not about us. It's about blessing others. That's what the gospel is all about. We're set. We're going to heaven. We got this thing. We're wrapped up. We got victory. We win. But there's people who are still bound. And he says, hunger and thirst. It reminded me of Charlie. I have a 1-year-old who'll be 2 on the 22nd, and I thought about her because she's got this really bad habit right now, which I think is adorable, but it's probably terrible. Don't judge me when I say this. Be gentle. So Charlie has a habit of not eating her dinner. She throws it everywhere, throws it on the ground, throws it everywhere, throws it on my face. I mean, she can throw these things far, and she's in this bad habit. Well, if you don't give her enough food, she'll go to bed at night happy, but at 2 in the morning, she's hangry. Hungry and angry, like together, hangry. So sure enough, we'll be sleeping in our bedroom right next to her, and we just hear her crying. Ah, 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 and we hear things throwing out of her crib, and we go in there, and she's got all her blankets thrown out, her pillow thrown out, and then I go in there, and she takes her passy out and goes, so I put the stuff down, put a blankie down, put her down, put the passy back in her mouth, and lay her down and go back into the room. And then sure enough, try falling asleep. We get back to sleep, and about 20 minutes later, like she comes out, go in there, everything's back out, takes the passy, throws it out. You know those times like really have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, but you're too comfortable, you don't want to get up and go to the bathroom, so you just like keep trying to sleep, but then you get a terrible night's rest, because if you would have just went and gone to the bathroom, then you could have done it, but it's way too much work to get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom because you're comfortable, and then when you wake up, you take like 10 minutes to go to the bathroom, but you had, anyways, not just me, and you have dreams about actually going, and you wake up like, uh-oh, like was it, no one, just me? Okay, so you guys know what I'm talking about, you're just getting a little loose right now. So I just didn't want to get up, and sure enough, I look at Liz, and I'm like, babe, I think she's hungry. So we give her a banana and a half of one, and she takes it, and she's like, and pushes the whole thing in her mouth. Takes the passy, puts it in two, and just lays back down. Like, well, first off, we'll set her back up, finish your food, lay her back down. Sure enough, till 7 or 8 in the morning, sleeping. I'm like, we should have never gave her that banana. Because now, 3 in the morning rolls around. And I thought about that. And I thought about in our life, what if it even got to be 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in our life spiritually, and we hungered and thirst after something like it Charlie did? You see, she was hungry. She needed something to fulfill her satisfaction, and she would wake up all, she would go from 1 in the morning till 4 in the morning. Trust me, we know. We try to win it out. She wins every time. We're just going to throw the towel on this one. You can call us bad parents if you want. We're throwing in the towel. We're sleeping. I want to be gentle by the power of the Holy Spirit, but I also need sleep to be gentle too, right? So we just threw the towel in, and we did that, but I realized in our life, what if we got to a point where we wouldn't put up with no? What if we got to a point in our life where we would say, I am not satisfied where I'm living. I am not satisfied where I'm at as a believer. I want to be better. I want to be smarter. I want to grow bigger. I want more fruit in my life. I want to reach people. I want to take care of the widows and the orphans. I want to change this community. I want my heart to beat for what Jesus beat. And I'm not going to sleep until that hunger is satisfied. I will stay up all night. I will stay up all day. I will seek you with everything I have. Until it's satisfied. When will we be a church that rises up like the Acts apostles and realize that they hungered and they thirsted and they were never satisfied with being who God asked them to be? See, Jesus will take care of that empty feeling in your life, but there's a time when I wake up and I say, God, I am not there yet. And I want to do whatever I can to help as many people as I can. Because I don't want to get to heaven on the other side and say, Sean, you know that 2-year span where you're doing this thing, you miss 500 people. I don't want to miss 500 people. I want to do it. I want to hunger and thirst in my own life. Maybe there's something in your life, hunger and thirst for what God has. Why? Because blessed are those. And it says, you will be filled. What that word means is bloated. If you actually look it up in the Greek, you will be bloated. Which means you will have plenty of food and where that can. It's like going to the Golden Corral. You do not leave that place hungry. You're overflowing. Stuff's coming out of your nose and your ears, right? You've had chocolate fondue, shrimp, and Chinese all in the same thing. He says, I will overfill. If you hunger and thirst, it says in Jeremiah, those who seek me with their whole hearts, they will find me. Maybe your answer is not, God, are you there? Maybe he's just saying, I'm here. You just need to start seeking. Hunger, thirst. Don't go to bed satisfied with, go to bed stuffed. Go to bed bloated. Don't eat Taco Bell. Go to God's word. He says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Man, there's a lot of these. All right. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. That means compassionate. It also says that if we can't forgive, how we expect to be forgiven. The only way we can offer mercy to other people is realize how much mercy has been offered to us. So that next time, you know, like I talked about, there's been times in my life, this isn't crazy, I call it the spoon-shovel theology. Like when you say this, you're driving down the road, right? And you're driving, you're singing, well, I don't know what you're singing, Beyonce, Shakira, Day to Remember, August Burns Red, Jeremy Camp. I don't know what you sing. I'm just trying to throw it out. Oceans, Hillsong, whatever. Well, you're singing and you're getting into it and you blow a stop sign or maybe you go too far or maybe you go through a red light or maybe you pull in front of someone, right? And you go, oh, sorry. Do you do that, Cody? Oh, sorry. He's a police officer, so he'll pull you over. Anyways. And then the next time you're at the red light, someone pulls in front of you. Hey! Ooh. Where my trust is without borders. You go back to worshiping music after you yell them out. And I realized, isn't it crazy? When we run the red light, we want the shovels of mercy. But when someone else runs the red light, it's like, here's your spoonful. We do this in our walk, guys, but when we realize how much shovels of mercy has been poured in our life, we will begin to offer shovels of mercy to people who may have talked to you wrongly. They were in a moment of weakness. If we would think the best of people, it would change a lot of our problems. Sometimes you just call them on a bad day. Sometimes you call them because their kids are screaming. They're going crazy. You don't know what's going on in their job place. You don't know what they're facing. You don't know what they're going through. And the last thing they did was just snap at you, just say, you know what, God, how can I help them? Let me give mercy to them like I would want mercy be given to me. He says, blessed are those who are merciful. Blessed are those who are merciful. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Meaning, blessed are those who realize that they're not just focused on the outward, but their outward is tied closely to their inward. Meaning, when's the last time you asked the heart questions? God, am I bitter? Am I hurting? Psalms 139, see if there's any wicked or offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. The scariest prayer you'll ever pray. Because when you pray, he'll show you some stuff in you. Because we all got some wicked stuff in us. But he brings it out so we can be better. He says, blessed are those who are pure in heart, meaning they take a good care of what's going on here. Why? Because the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It goes on to say that it's the wellspring of life. It's like a river. Whatever you put in it will flow out of your life. So whatever you're noticing in your life right now, it started in your heart. So if you have no friendship still and you're wondering what's going on, you might have some stuff in your heart that's pushing them away. So don't look at the surface stuff. He says, blessed are those who are pure in heart. See if there's any unforgiveness. See if there's any hatred. See if there's any anger. Ask the Holy Spirit to begin working on you. And when he shows you, don't dig your heels in the dirt. He loves you. He's showing you why. Because he wants you to have healthier friendships. He wants you to continue to grow in your marriage. A lot of marriage problems, when I do some marriage counseling, I don't know much. I've only been married for 6 years, but I talk to people. Actually, the most marriage counseling I get is from my own problems, and then we go and talk to everybody else. Like, that's good. Jim and Sue, help us, you know? And so we share that stuff, and I've realized that a lot of the problems really usually are a guy or a lady. It's really to the point where they don't want to just receive what's going on in their heart. You need to change that. No, I don't. If you want to see outward change, it starts with an inward turn. If you want to see outward change, it starts with working on what's going on the inside. And the only way to work on the inside is through God's word and through his Holy Spirit. That's why I love Jesus, because he doesn't talk about surface stuff. He goes right to the heart. Because if he can get a hold of your heart, he can change everything else that pours out of it. Worship team, you guys can come on up. It goes on to say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The message we preach is actually called the gospel of peace. It says the God of peace. The God of peace will come into your life. So God is the God of peace. Now, I said peacemaker, not peacekeeper. Okay, there's a difference. We'll get in that in a little bit. He's saying, I came to make peace between God and man. Sin, guys, listen up. Sin separates from God. And he says, I'm the God of peace and the gospel of peace. What does it do? It brings peace where there's no peace. He took care of sin so we could be united with God. God's all about peace. It says seek peace and pursue it. That's why so many times I don't get why people are like, oh, Sometimes when it's not peaceful, that's where I run towards. Listen, peace is not everything on the outside changing. It's even though things are going crazy on the outside, the stuff that's happening in London, the stuff that's happening in England, the stuff that's happening on our own soil, the political stuff, all that stuff. Even though that's all happening, he's saying there's this thing that's deeper than that, a peace that you can have in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of chaos. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. So when you go to your job place, if you're causing division in your home and your job place, blessed are those who are peacemakers. What does that mean? It means go in there with a good attitude. Work hard. Smile. Maybe pray for someone. Maybe give them an invite card and tell them, hey, I know you're listening, or I know you're going through some hard stuff right now. I may not have all the answers. I don't think my pastor has all the answers either, but he does preach the word of God, and that might help you in that situation. He's saying find peace with your neighbors. Find peace with those around you. Does that mean that we coexist? Listen, I'm not saying coexist is right in the aspect of everything's cool, because we want people to know that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. But we can exist next to them and love them and still eat with them and encourage them, because Jesus did it with the craziest people of all, but knowing where we stand, that Jesus is the only way for me. But I'm still going to love you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to invite you to our church, even if you don't want to come or not. But I love you. He says, blessed are those who have peace. And then as we close, he says this, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It took three verses to talk about this. Because at that time, he knew Jesus was being persecuted for these words. I mean, they hung him on the cross. And he knew that when he left, the Holy Spirit was going to lead the disciples to do some stuff that was going to call persecution in their life. And he says, remember these words. Blessed are those who are persecuted for living in the name of Jesus. So that means I can go out and start street preaching and yelling at people? That's not what he said. Because trust me, you don't need to do that. All you need to do is talk about Jesus and it'll wild up some people. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted. You know, I thought it's crazy that there's so many times we think this means something in our life. And we see all these hashtag blessed Instagram posts and all these things, and humble brags really what they are. We got a nice car. God bless me with this awesome car. You just wanted the opportunity to share your car with everybody, that you have a better car than everybody. Humble brag. Blessed. Anyways. But what really would be a blessing is if we would actually see those in Syria and the refugees who are running from their life, who love Jesus, and because they said they love Jesus, their families are getting beheaded. And to think a family member could take a picture of that and put hashtag blessed. Because that's what Jesus said blessing was. You are blessed when you are persecuted for loving Jesus, even till the end. Because you will go through. I felt bad for myself a couple weeks ago because of some stuff people were saying about our church, other pastors. And I was just throwing a pity party, feeling bad for myself. And I was praying, God, I don't want to respond the way I want to. And I've heard him say these words, Sean, you're blessed. You should be scared when no one's persecuting you. Yeah. Got out of my pity party and said, man, God, you've blessed me. I think of Tim Tebow. You would think blessing would be still being in the NFL, making tons of money. But people don't want the media circus because he loves Jesus. And we think, oh, poor guy. Jesus said, no, he's blessed. Why? Because he's being persecuted for lifting up my name. Blessed. Blessed. When you leave today, realize what blessing truly is. Does God want to bless you and give you desires of your heart? Of course he does. But don't let those things get in the way of what real blessing are. If you're here today and you're poor in spirit, God wants to bless you today. He wants you to know that without him you are nothing, but he can fulfill your darkest need. He can fulfill your hunger and your satisfaction. And as you go throughout your week this week, I want you to pull up Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And begin to look at it and say, God, where can I get better at? Do I need to share mercy? Do I need to realize I'm nothing without you? Should I mourn about some of these things? Do I need to be a peacemaker? And begin to apply that in your life. And ask God to help you. Because why? Because blessed are those who do these things. Do you want to be blessed today, church? Do you want to be blessed today, church? Do you want to be blessed today, church? Are you blessed today, church? Maybe some of you today who thought you weren't blessed, actually you are blessed. It's not material things. You have Jesus in your life, and he's all you need. You can leave today in victory knowing, man, I am blessed. I have been given by God. I am free. I may not have all the nice stuff, but I have Jesus. I am blessed. We're blessed. Lord, thank you so much for blessing us. We pray, Father God, as we close today, Lord, I know, Father God, that your word was spoken. Thank you for blessing us in a way that's so remarkable. I pray right now in Jesus' name for anyone who doesn't know you. Anyone, Father God, who says, I am poor in spirit. You said, blessed are those, for they will get the kingdom of God. If you're here today and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, you say, Sean, what do I do? You say, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm nothing without you, and today I choose you. And when you make that choice, it says the old is gone, the new has come, and now you are in Christ. If you're here and you want to make that decision with eyes closed, could you lift up your hand right now? Say, Sean, I'm poor in spirit. I'm poor in spirit. I need Jesus in my life. Praise God. Church, pray this with me together. Say, Lord, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I don't deserve it, but you've given it to me. Thank you. I give you my past, my sin and shame. I choose you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give it up for new people in the kingdom of God.